Hey there, independent Scientologists. Discover a new perspective to your bridge by visiting ao-gp.org. Get in session with remote auditing using the Theta Meter. Are you curious about where you stand? Head on over to ao-gp.org now and take our free personality test. Join the growing group of independent Scientologists today.
Hi, and welcome to another Scientology Outside of the Church podcast. This is Season 8, Episode 7. I'm here with Scientology Girl. The title of this episode is going to be Remote Viewing, What Happened to Scientology? And when I say that, I mean the Scientology, the subject, not the Scientology, the church. It did happen to the church, but they did that to the subject and put it in ill repute. I'm here with Scientology Girl. How are you, Scientology Girl?
I'm very well, thank you.
It's nice to have you back on the show again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being. So we're going to get going. We're going to do a timeline here, and we'll back and forth this, and we'll interject things as we go down the list. This is going to be a multiple part because this is a very long timeline, and I think this is something people in the church should listen to and understand what is really going on. And you don't know what you don't know, and we're not here to third party you, but you need to have some facts. And for people that don't know anything about Scientology, I think it's very helpful as well. And if you connect the dots, we're not going to connect the dots for you per se, but you do the math and you'll get the picture, I think. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Before we get started though, I just want to clear up some things. First, I have no idea. Like, he gave me like half an hour to get all this stuff. So he's going to be leading. I'm probably going to be asking him questions more than anything else. And secondly, I think it might be a good idea if we do like a little word clearing. So what is remote viewing to start with?
Well, remote viewing, for those that don't know, is where a person can leave the body as a spiritual being and go look at something else in the physical universe or another universe and keep the body alive and then come back and report to said masters.
So that's kind of like, I guess, maybe astral projection. I don't know if you
know that. Yeah, and in Scientology, we call it exteriorization. So it's a thing that something that if a government has this, there's lots of things that they can do with it. They can spy with it. They can use it for space programs. They can they can put things there that weren't necessarily there because they have advanced knowledge. I mean, there's a lot to remote viewing. It's not just going and seeing as a spy.
Okay. And then another question is the stuff that we're going to be talking about today, how credible is it?
It's very credible. There are lots of people that saw these operatives in the church. It is very well documented. Okay. Freedom of Information Act, we do have a lot of valid data. This isn't just because it's on the internet makes it true. And we want to make that point as well. That's what's true for you is true for you. You don't have to believe us. Do your own due diligence.
Okay.
It makes complete sense to me.
Yeah.
And I've been involved in this area for so long and talked to so many people and interviewed so many people especially in the early podcasts, and it just makes perfect sense to me. But that's for me. Okay. And you don't have to believe me either.
Right.
And you know, it's what's true for you. Regardless, it's very interesting when you start to get these pieces put together. But
yeah,
you know, could just be a story, but we'll let our listeners decide.
Yeah, and you know, either way, just let it be playful and fun, and like, I mean,
yeah, it doesn't have to be deadly serious.
Yeah,
that's not what we're trying to do. It's definitely food for thought, though,
right?
I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, take it away.
All right, so we're going to start back in the 1940s. Back in October 1943, E. Howard Hunt is confirmed for service in the Office of Strategic Services, the OSS. This is what was the CIA before the CIA existed. He goes to Catalina Island for training. Among the people Hunt trains with is Lucien Conant. More on that later. Now, this is where the psychs come into this very early on, before Dianetics is even published. This is 1943, 1946. Psychiatrist Lewis J. Fielding joins the Veterans Administration in Los Angeles as staff psychiatrist and instructor in clinical psychiatry. When Fielding joins the Veterans Administration, and intermittently over the next several years, Dianetics and Scientology founder L. Ron Hubbard, or LRH as we call him, is living in and around LA doing Dianetic research. He's opened an office in Hollywood, California, is delivering Dianetic processing to people. This is 1946. Dianetics was published in 1950. When there, he's associated with the Los Angeles Veterans Administration. Now, note, Fielding later will be integral to incidents involving CIA's E. Howard Hunt, Daniel Ellsberg, Lucian Conan, the Pentagon Papers, and, get this, if you're a kid from the late 60s, mid-60s, and the Watergate scandal that happened in the 70s when we were kids, at the very time that the CIA is secretly setting up its remote viewing program, which we'll get to as we go out through this, using highly trained Scientologists. Okay, that comes up in 1971-72. In the 18th of September, 1947, the National Security Act of 1947 establishes the CIA. Robert Comer is in the CIA at its inception. Comer will become a close associate of Daniel Ellsberg at RAND, which is a research place that they do, well, black ops, and will be with Ellsberg in Vietnam. Note, this is, well, 15, 20 years before Vietnam gets started. 47, 18 September, the National Security Act establishes the CIA, like I said. 15 October, a letter purportedly from L. Ron Hubbard dated 15 October 1947 ends up in Veterans Administration files. But this is one of these ones that bounces around the internet a lot where people say, and this is what this letter says, that this is the interesting part, where the staff psychiatrist says that the subject of the letter is Hubbard pleading with the Veterans Administration for psychiatric help.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. And note, the letter never surfaces until decades later, and then only as a copy several generations removed, making its authenticity impossible to prove or disprove. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to stop here for a minute, because one of the things that people that do investigations into what happened to Scientology find is that all of Hubbard's school records have vanished. Mm-hmm. They're not there. And if there are any, they're bad grades. Mm-hmm. I find that very interesting that, as early on as possible, they're trying to discredit him on things. Now, we'll find out more about this later, but, why would that happen? It's obvious he's a very literate individual, given the things that he's written and the things that he's said in lectures and things like that. You couldn't be illiterate.
I mean, even if hypothetically he was a quote unquote scam artist, which obviously he's not, but even if he was, he has managed as the some illiterate dude who got terrible grades to fool so many people, like literally like thousands, tens, hundreds of thousands,
if not millions.
Yeah. I mean,
there's been millions of copies of Dianetics sold. And it's so simple, anybody can do it. And, people like Quentin go clear on just doing what the book says.
Yeah. The math ain't math.
Right. The math ain't math, as Quentin would say. That's right. So this brings us up to, this is when the first discrediting in sort of rearview mirrors happens, as early as 1947, when they're saying that he wanted psychiatric help when he was trying to leave the Navy. So, June 1948, with CIA Liaison for Administration and Supply, a separate clandestine organization called Office of Policy Coordination, or OPC, is created. On CIA orders, E. Howard Hunt reports to Washington, D.C. to begin service in the Office of Policy Coordination. Okay, Howard Hunt comes up a lot in the timeline of Scientology on the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
1949, July, CIA's head of scientific intelligence goes to Western Europe to learn Soviet techniques in mind control and interrogation, including use of LSD.
That's interesting.
Even in 1949, okay? And instead of saying Mr. Hubbard, I'm just going to say LRH. This is L. Ron Hubbard. LRH talks about this, the Soviet influence on mind control and psychiatry. I mean, it's shoulder deep. And these guys are shoulder to shoulder with them as early as 1949. This is before the Cold War. This is before all of the, you know, the Soviets are evil and all this stuff. So, you know, something's not right here.
Yeah.
1950s. Now, here's where it gets starts to get really interesting. Dianetics was released, actually, it was a week ago. We had the anniversary, 9 May. It's the 17th of May as we make this podcast right now. You're looking at over 70 years ago, 74 years ago. Jeez, has it been that long? 74 years, God. Anyway.
Feeling old.
No, it's like, what?
Yeah.
Here we are doing a podcast in the 21st century about something that was released 74 years ago last week. Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay, so we get into the 1950s. Dianetics was released on the 9th of May, 1950. Thursday, the 20th of April, 1950, okay, this was less than a month prior to Dianetics' release, the CIA's mind control program, Project Bluebird, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard about, is authorized. CIA contracted psychiatrists begin secret experiments with ice pick lobotomies, electroshock, hypnosis, pain, and drugs, including cocaine, heroin, and LSD. Now, this is long before Daniel Leary made LSD popular during the Summer of Love in 1968. In coordination with the Veterans Administration, U.S. military veterans are used as unwitting subjects for many of the experiments. And this isn't the first time the government has done this with government property, military guys.
Right.
You know, we've got the Tuskegee experiment, all that stuff. So they like to use people without their permission. Tuesday, 9th of May, 1950...
I just want to interject real quick and say it is so funny how these guys were basically trying to do, if you look at all of these things, drugs, pain, heroin, all of that stuff, it's all got to do with the brain and the physical body.
Mm-hmm. Right. Low on the tone scale.
Yeah. Like if they really want to get through to somebody, you reach the spirit, not the physical body.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. That's a very strong indication of where these guys operate from.
Yeah.
They don't see themselves as spiritual beings. They see them, they see people as animals.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Obviously. And that's a very good point to make.
The only thing I can think of is that they tried to, you know, anybody, including us, you know, clears and OTs, we also get, when there's out body rudiments.
Yeah, the body affects you.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that that's probably where they tried to
that's the end.
Get people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They saw that people are at the thetans or spiritual beings, or whatever, are at their weakest when their body rudiments are out.
Right. Under physical pressure, stress, and duress. Yeah, absolutely. And this flies right into the teeth of why Dianetics works and what engrams are.
Yeah.
Pain and unconsciousness.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough. So on Tuesday, 9 May 1950, Dianetics is released. LRH decries hypnosis and describes techniques for safely accessing in the mind the contents of incidents involving unconsciousness, hypnosis, drugs, and pain. It becomes a bestseller.
Hmm.
The complete antithesis of what these guys were doing a month earlier on the 20th of April, 1950.
Yeah.
Things that make you go, Saturday, 27th May, 1950. Now, this is really interesting here. Less than, 9 May, 27 May, you're looking at just less than 3 weeks later, the Office of Naval Intelligence in Washington, D.C. sends an officer to put LRH into civilian service in the government to continue his researches on the mind. They wasted no time.
LRH ever... say that this happened.
Yeah, he mentions it on the briefing course.
He has?
Yeah.
Wow.
He says, and the government to continue his researches, and LRH says no. The officers say that if he refuses, he'll be ordered back to active duty since his naval commission had not been terminated. LRH takes advantage of a letter of permission he has from the Secretary of the Navy to resign his commission, thereby putting Dianetics and Scientology out of the reach and control of the U.S. government.
And is it any wonder why there's such an outcry towards Scientology? Now, Okay. I will agree that there are some abuses going on in the corporate church, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual subject gets so much hate, and the author,
right.
the creator, Aaron Hubbard.
Researcher.
Mean, yeah, the researcher. You know, obviously there's something to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's why it's what I was saying in the beginning is if you just look at it, it's undeniable,
mm-hmm.
undeniable that why in the world would a government that wants to control and observe everything that everybody is doing and is so paranoid because of their own contra-survival acts mm-hmm. upon their citizens,
yeah.
why in the world would they want something like Dianetics and Scientology there? I mean, you know,
help people.
Right. We're not even getting into, you know, Klaus Schwab and the New World Order and you'll own nothing and be happy. They don't want this kind of thing going on. They don't want critical, free beings
yeah.
that can think for themselves. Mm-hmm. So something had to be done about this. Yeah. But you do the math, listeners. Yeah.
And, you know, I've thought about something because I like Buddhism and I also like meditation, as you know. Mm-hmm. And I was just comparing the two out one day and I was like, why are there so many mental health advocates, you know, even psychologists, even big pharma, well maybe not big pharma, but in cooperation with, they all say, you know, if you can do some meditation it really helps, versus, you know, with Scientology, nobody's recommending Scientology,
right? Why is that?
So I was like, well, I mean, I know for a fact that meditation does work, and I also know for a fact that Scientology does work.
Mm-hmm.
I think the difference is that meditation makes you okay with just being,
mm-hmm.
whereas Scientology makes you more powerful. And if you are powerful, you are a threat.
That's right.
To these establishments.
That's right.
Meditation might make you better, but it's not letting you go further than just yourself mm-hmm. and being at peace with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe, okay, some charity work here and there or whatever. But when it comes to actually really fighting back and kicking up against the system and raising your awareness towards all these negative, real things, that's where Scientology comes in. And they do not want that.
Right.
It's a competition.
Yeah. Well, you don't want people who are aware.
Yeah,
that's really what it comes down to. So that brings us to September 1950. As the CIA cat's blocking my monitor. As CIA's Project Bluebird expands, the CIA contracted psychiatrists' experimental purposes and activities include inducing amnesia, inserting hypnotic access codes in subjects' minds, controlling behavior from remote transmitters with brain electrodes, administering LSD to children, and using electroshock to erase memories. This is September 1950.
Mm.
Now, you look at what we're dealing with today, post-COVID, and these injections and 5G and all of this stuff. Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, what people testing, are saying, testing, like yeah.
It's just either more covert or quote-unquote more humane.
Right.
The currency of being.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, 1951, we leave September 1950, 1951, the Office of Policy Coordination, the OPC, and Howard Hunt again, is merged with the CIA. Over the coming years during his CIA career, Hunt has other occasions to work with Lucian Conan, who is on contract to CIA, and this guy keeps popping up. Lucian does. January 1951, LRH introduces the Theta Mess Theory, stating that thought, you're gonna want to comment on this, that thought, Theta, is separate from the physical universe, matter, energy, space, and time, which we lovingly call MEST as an acronym. That Theta can operate in and with matter, energy, space, and time, and that theta can consider itself integrated with MEST if it so considers it. This is all part of the Dianetics and Scientology axioms. And that theta can consider itself to be MEST. Now, this is why auditing works early on, is that the thetan has gotten themselves to believe they are the matter, energy, space, and time instead of a spiritual being. Mm-hmm. And this, and you can see how these activities these guys are working on just stick people in their bodies even more. But that creative thought and perception reside in theta, not in the physical universe or matter, energy, space, and time. This is January 1951. This is important. Don't lose it here. Monday, 25 June 1951, LRH exposes a carefully guarded secret of certain military and intelligence organizations. In a new book, Science of Survival, LRH says it required Dianetic processing to uncover pain, drug, and hypnosis. Otherwise, pain, drug, or hypnosis, or what we call PDHing, because we love acronyms, was out of sight, unsuspected, and unknown. LRH denounces it and says it's being used as a vicious war weapon that may be of considerably more use in conquering a society than the atom bomb. So that's a lot to unpack there. Note, it's not until decades later that the CIA's pain drug hypnosis experimentation during this period begins to be investigated and reported by Congress. By that time, the CIA's Richard Helms and Sidney Gottlieb and others will have destroyed many of the CIA records of such activities. Well, the first thing you do is get rid of the evidence. And this we move forward into January 1973 from June 25th of 1951. So if you got a means to uncover somebody committing crimes of an incredible scale on an individual with pain, drug, and hypnosis, might you be a threat?
Yeah. Absolutely. No.
So that brings us to 20 August 1951, a little later than a year after Dianetics has been released. The CIA's Project Bluebird evolves into Project Artichoke. These guys and their names. With goals such as, quote, get control of an individual to the point where he will do our bidding against his will and even against fundamental laws of nature. Now, this is where the concept of a Manchurian candidate comes in. This is important because about 10 years later, John Kennedy is assassinated.
Okay.
Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. This will all come forward in about 10 years. So it took them about 10 years to get these guys. They killed these outspoken, society-changing turning points and snuff them out. More on that later. Monday, 7 January 1952. Secret internal CIA document discusses a multi-level program to research and develop the use of extrasensory perception, or ESP, for practical problems of intelligence. This is as early as 1952. Then, in July 1952, about 6 months later, 7 months later, LRH releases a book, History of Man, one of the most controversial books in Scientology. Published also as What to Audit, that describes some of the native capabilities of thought, or a thetan, you, the spiritual being, in the individual, as including communication by telepathy and the moving of material objects by, quote-unquote, throwing an energy flow at them. Hubbard describes Scientology processes to rehabilitate these potentials. Again, he's giving it out to the public for the cost of a book of about $250 to $5.
Yeah.
Might you want to shut somebody like that up?
Yeah, exactly.
Just maybe.
And I know I talk about TikTok a lot because I really am in favor of of the app, but I'm in favor of freedom of speech and of the community setting that TikTok really has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll be honest. When I first started watching TikTok, before I started watching TikTok, I used to think that, you know, people were just not that bright. And then, you know, and I know that's kind of an asshole-ish thing to say, but, you know, with not knowing, like, all of the intentions of others, etc., you can kind of get, you don't realize what you don't know until you know it. So my point is that TikTok is a platform that really embraces community and freedom of speech, etc. And I find it strange when we look at things like this, where he's talking about, you know, all of these abilities and stuff like that. How much of that is actually on TikTok? Like, I regularly see people who can do things like move things with their minds, mm-hmm. and you know, that kind of thing, these abilities, and they want to ban TikTok. So is it just the same thing perpetuating itself? Because I tell you, sure, if more like people believe that they can do this, that is the first step. Because I believe your beliefs are powerful,
mm-hmm.
and I'm literally talking about postulates, which are self-created truths.
Yeah.
If something is a self-created truth, if people can know for a fact that they can do X, Y, Z, that's powerful.
Right.
And I think we stand as a threat as Scientologists, independent or not, because people know that most of us are pretty successful,
mm-hmm.
and there's a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
Because Scientology really gives you the tools. It literally hands you that information. And the nattering about it, look, I don't know what goes on in the church, whatever, but I know what I've seen in the books, in the courses, in my own auditing, in my own success in life, in my own beliefs. It's just been night and day,
mm-hmm.
night and day. And right. I wish I could impart that to everybody. Like, just if you have doubts, don't have doubts. Just do it.
Yeah. It takes you out from under suppression.
Yeah, absolutely.
It allows you to blossom as a being. If you apply it and you read it and you go, wow, this is true. This is working for me. And we're not saying it's the only way to do things, but it is a very workable way. And that's what he says. It is a workable technology.
Yeah.
And that's the important part. So if you didn't want people to have those abilities, well, you'll see how this unfolds. It gets really, really interesting as we go on.
I just want to add to that as well, and say that, you know, looking at the stuff that we're reading now, one could easily see how, you know, these victims. You could look at it in two ways. You could see these victims of all these bad things that the CIA are doing to them, or you can look at it and be like, you know what, these people. People, humans, Thetans, we are all so powerful, and they have to find ways to suppress us.
Right.
You know, and I wish more people knew how powerful they were. Infinitely capable.
That's why they took this out.
Exactly. You know, I mean, yeah, okay, we have a body and stuff, but in here, even over here, even against the fundamental laws of nature, it's just mind-blowing.
Yeah. And like Hubbard says, the only way you can control somebody is by lying.
Absolutely.
And that gets spun on the internet, that they were like, ha, he's lying to people.
Yeah.
And they don't look at the bigger picture and go, is anybody else doing that to you?
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you watch television programs?
Yeah.
And it's interesting to note that TV started to make its way on the scene in the very early 1950s with programming, right around the time that we're talking about now.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Programming.
And let's not even get started on the music industry.
Yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
Can I say shit?
Well, yeah, you can. Right. What modern day, what we're looking at now, and you look at what was going on then, and you go, oh, okay, so it's just an exponentially increased, because there's so many channels for people to get information or disinformation on,
mm-hmm.
depending on your viewpoint.
Yeah.
So we're going to get back to the timeline here. We left off of July 1952, Wednesday, the 6th of August, 1952. Alexander Purich delivers a lecture called On the Possible Usefulness of Extrasensory Perception in Psychological Warfare to a Pentagon Conference. Now, these are all cited incidents. On the possible usefulness of extrasensory perception in psychological warfare becomes a decades-long intelligence agenda for the Cold War. December 1952, George Hunter White, on loan to CIA from the Federal Narcotics Bureau. Just listen to these components of this. From the Federal Narcotics Bureau, begins administering LSD to unwitting U.S. citizens at a CIA quote-unquote safe house in Greenwich Village, New York. Cited, okay? Part of the Freedom of Information Act. LRH, December 1952, my grandfather's voice in there. L. Ron Hubbard delivers a series of over 50 lectures. This is the Philadelphia doctorate course on processes for attaining a state he calls Operating Thetan, or OT. This is the first mention of it in 1952, described as a being stably exterior from the body and able to perceive, communicate, and operate in the physical universe without reliance on the sense channels or mechanics of a body. The PDC lectures are very, very well known and popular, and they're even part today of the church's ridiculous basic books package, which is so outgradient for people, it's not even funny. I've talked to people who knew people at the PDC Congress who were there and were just so blown away, and they didn't understand what he was talking about even then, because it was so lofty at that point. But it's the first mention of the state of OT is on the PDCs. Now we go to 1953. James McCord, later to be involved in the Watergate break-in, joins the CIA, 1953, 20 years before Watergate. February 10th, April 1953, CIA Director Alan Dulles gives a speech before the National Alumni Conference at Princeton University, lecturing on, quote, how sinister the battle for men's minds, quote unquote, has become in Soviet hands.
Yeah.
So if you can't beat them, join them.
Yeah.
Monday, 13 April 1953, CIA Director Alan Dulles authorizes a new expanded mind control program. Everybody has heard about this. I don't care whether you know anything about Scientology or not. MK Ultra, brainchild of Richard Helms, high-ranking member of CIA's clandestine services. Again, E. Howard Hunt is working at CIA headquarters at the time as chief of covert operations under clandestine services. Multiple citations on this. Thursday, 19 November 1953, on a three-day holiday for CIA officials at Deer Creek Lodge in the mountains of Maryland, Sidney Gottlieb, head of CIA's MKUltra, secretly slips LSD into the after-dinner drinks. An Army scientist and germ warfare specialist named Frank Olson, who was working on an MKUltra project, experiences a bad trip, quote-unquote, becoming very disoriented. Note, Olson soon commits suicide after having his bad LSD trip.
I don't understand this whole LSD thing. Like, I guess the question is, do they think that the LSD has something to do with being a spiritual being?
Well, they're mistaking it, but they're seeing the signs of exteriorization, because what happens here when a person takes LSD or any of these new psychedelics that Joe Rogan is a proponent for? What happens is for lack of a better word, and I'm not saying this I am a class auditor and I know what drugs do to a being, but what happens is it pushes the Thetan out of the body and they go exterior and they experience lots of interesting things that the body is manifesting. And there's reasons for this on the OT levels, the NED for OTs, that this restimulates the other components of the composite being. And so even though you're exterior, you're experiencing what the body is experiencing and exterior. So they're looking at this as a clue.
Yeah. But I mean, even that's still too. Okay. So let's say you have let's say you have a, what do they call those things? A robot scientist. I can't remember. Let's say you have that guy and he's obviously pretty fucking smart, right? Let's say you have him drunk. What use is he? Of little use. So the fact that they're trying to, you know, have a Thetan who is powerful, but then try and numb him out with, you know, obviously the drugs. Yeah. He's not being himself. And right. that's the thing.
Right. This is as good as it gets on planet Earth.
Is as useful as he is himself.
Right. And that's one of the points that I wanted to make with this is that, like LRH talks about, you've got Homo sapiens and you have Homo novus, somebody who is clear. And you look at, and I'm sorry I keep using this, but there's only a point as things only get as good as they get on planet Earth, because the best way that these guys can do this is they cause an effect on somebody and say, see, this is what is possible, but they don't have a clue. They can't find their ass with both hands because they don't understand what drugs do to a body, because they don't even understand that they're a spiritual being. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's a big duh. And you see this all across the planet. Is this as good as we can do? Whether it's, you know, it's helping other people being homeless, this sort of thing, people just go, yeah, that's just the way it is.
Yeah. And all of this stuff is exactly the opposite of what should be done,
right?
Because when you really look at it, what are they doing? They're trying to control beings. They're trying to, you know, do it through the mind and the body. And they're doing it externally, away from themselves, which it should actually be the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Even like these individual officers, we're looking at CIA as this broad group, okay?
Right, but these are the guys.
Those individual people, Tom, Barry, Jack, whoever the hell, they need to look and see what it actually is in order to, you know, actually experience happiness and play a good game and all of that stuff. You just got to figure you out.
Right.
And that's all it is.
And LRH was here on the scene.
But people can't confront that.
Right. He had the IQ to actually present this to people. And instead of working with it or anything, because they're criminal minds in the first place, which is why they have low IQs, they think that it's okay to just go ahead and steal it.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we're at in this, and this is where this is headed. So here we go. Now it starts to get even more interesting. In round about July 1955, George Hunter White moved his CIA safe house where they were drugging people, equipped with one-way mirrors and surveillance gadgets, to San Francisco under the banner of MK Ultra with Sidney Gottlieb. The code name is Operation Midnight Climax. Again, these guys and their titles. He hires prostitute addicts who lure men from bars to the safe house after their drinks have been spiked with LSD. White films the events. The purpose of these quote-unquote national security brothels is to enable CIA to experiment with the act of lovemaking for extracting information from men.
Here's the thing. It's not just lovemaking, but it's also alcohol, and it's also LSD. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like,
right. Who in their right minds, pun intended,
are they saying that LSD basically makes people more truthful, or sex with women makes people more truthful? Because let me tell you, I'm a woman and I've had sex, and men will tell you whatever the fuck you want to hear.
Right.
I'm just saying.
Right. Well, I mean, you look at this and you go, wow, now that's an interesting cocktail.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind that this is as good as they've got.
Yeah.
But this is literally, this is, they're actually doing experiments.
And when I say that whole whatever the fuck you want to hear, I mean it in the sense of not necessarily the truth, but just anything that's going to get him to
what they want.
Yeah.
Right. So, how in the world can anything good come of this? Well, it at least from my standpoint, and very likely yours, it can't.
Yeah.
Factions of the U.S. government are making efforts to, quote-unquote, seize Scientology in the United States. This is 5 years, 5 years and 2 months after Dianetics is released, because they see they are a threat. Hubbard is a threat to what they're trying to do, which is the opposite direction of what Scientology, the subject, was trying to do, which was emancipate the spiritual being.
Yeah. And not just that, but they're using, not that LRH needed the information for anything, but they're using all these things, hypnotism, LSD, sex with women, whatever, this manipulative shit. Mm-hmm. And LRH is just doing it because he's able to extract people's deepest, darkest secrets just because they want to free themselves. And that's completely sober.
Yeah.
And it works.
And it works.
And LRH doesn't use that. I have not, maybe I'm living under a rock, but I've never heard of an auditor going rogue and telling somebody else's shit, even when they've like left.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you're dealing with two totally different types of characters here.
Yeah.
Now, 15 August 1955, staff of CIA Director Alan Dulles completes a report on communist brainwashing. Now, this is when the Red Scare and all this stuff is getting to a fever pitch in the United States. So they have to do something in order to cover up that they are actually in agreement with what the Russians are doing. And well, that's a great way to misdirect it is, you know, are you a communist? Are you a communist? Blacklisting actors, blacklisting writers. All of this stuff was going on at the same time, which I find really, really interesting. Yeah. January 1957, 2nd of January, the Church of Scientology of California, the senior church, is granted tax exemption from the Infernal Revenue Service. July 1957, the CIA has a file number 156409 on L. Ron Hubbard and his organizations. Didn't take them long. January 1958, LRH introduces the American Blue E-meter, a transistorized improvement over earlier prototypes to be used as an aid for Scientology practitioners. Newer Scientology technology begins to require the use of a meter as a guide to the use of processes toward the attainment of operating theta. Now, it's interesting to note, just as a side note, that round about the 1961, LRH says that the American meter is not a good meter. Now, this doesn't mention that, but it is important to note that the British Mark Fives were the benchmark for meters at the time. And I almost wonder if the American meters didn't work properly because somebody was trying to screw things up. That's how bad it was.
Could be.
Yeah. June 1958, Daniel Ellsberg arrives at Rand Corporation to spend the summer as a consultant. July 1958 around, U.S. corporations including Westinghouse, General Electric, and Bell Telephone have begun telepathy research.
Wow.
Yeah. Saturday, 8 November 1958, the Herald Tribune in New York reports that Westinghouse Electric Corporation has begun to study ESP using specially designed apparatus. This is late 1950.
Yeah.
We're still using hard line phones, no such thing as a cell phone in sight, so on and so forth. Saturday, 25 July 1959, Westinghouse Corporation Friendship Laboratory undertakes an experiment in ESP with the USS Nautilus, linking one person on land, the sender, with another person in the submarine, the receiver, while the vessel is submerged. Representatives of the U.S. Navy and Air Force are present during the experiments, which run for 16 days under Air Force Colonel William H. Bowers. The experiments result in a 70% success rate. Now, we're going to stop at 1960 here, late 1959, 1960 for this podcast. And here we go. This is the last bit. Garden News publishes a story, Plants Do Worry and Feel Pain, describing experiments done by L. Ron Hubbard where he has connected plants to a Scientology E-meter and measured their reaction to threat and damage. Now, LRH discovers measurable sentience in plants, first using an E-meter with geraniums in his greenhouse at St. Hill, England, later with tomatoes. Now, you see this picture all the time of LRH with an E-meter on tomatoes on Google in the pictures and stuff and people making fun of him.
Yeah.
Just last month, it was published and verified that plants were sentient beings and could see, hear, and feel.
Of course they can. It's quite obvious. If it, you know, it's not static. It's not solid like a desk or whatever. If, I mean, it's just another type. It's another life form.
Yeah.
Of course it's going to have an experience.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Me.
And they said trees and plants can see. They can detect color. They can see you.
Mm.
Okay. This was published. This was something they let out. You know, they're not keeping us in the dark. And here we have L. Ron Hubbard, 18 December 1959. Okay. Now that's what, less 10 years. That's 64 years ago. It's just incredible to me that, and people say, oh, he's a quack.
Yeah.
You know, as long as it comes from someplace else, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to grant him any beingness at all. Mm-hmm. And this just blows my mind that this happened. So any parting comments on part one of this that was so far?
Yeah. So I just want to say if at this point you're starting to feel a little overwhelmed with the amount of, I guess, counterintention towards mankind and you as part of mankind, I would say that just remember that too many vias create a stop. That's literally LRH's words. And the reason why I'm mentioning that is because they are trying to go the long way around it. And they are trying to discover and control people. But the truth of it all is that if you are being yourself and if you are, you know, they want to harness this energy of telepathy and all these abilities, etc., aside from the control of people. So they're doing it the long way around. They're doing it on a via, and that via is trying to, I guess, make people go out ethics or make people go into agreement, or I don't know what kind of, you know, studies they're doing. But at the end of the day, the only way you can really do it is by being an ethical being. That is the only way that you restore your power, is through your own ethics and your own integrity. And anything else is a lie. And it is that way because we are basically good beings. And Scientology has the answers to make you even more ethical than you currently are. Mm-hmm. And if your goal is to have special abilities, well, we're not promising that, but Scientology is the only way that you're going to get there.
That's right. And it's interesting, very interesting to note that to the degree that you foul up a being is to the degree that you can sell them lots of other things and in the process control.
Yeah, because they go into agreement, they get PTS to you, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, because a Thetan can be anything and they know that and they use it against
you. So moral of the story, while we might not be able to control these big corporations and all of that, you can control yourself.
Sure.
And do not, just keep to the code of honor and keep yourself powerful. Mm-hmm.
So for Scientology Girl and myself, this is the end of part one of this topic. And we'll try and do another podcast in the next couple of days, if not sooner. We really appreciate you listening. So for Scientology Girl and myself, namaste. And we love you.
What a great podcast.
Bye-bye.